Broadcast sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Sheldon Jr. speaking. We count it a privilege to be able to come in your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Psalm 81, beginning in verse 8. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways! I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied them. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee for leaving us such portions upon thy precious and holy word. Oh, our cry is today that you'll not give us over to our heart's lust, nor that we would walk in our own counsels, but that we would hearken to thy voice and open our mouth wide that you may fill it, so that thy word would go home in power and much assurance to each and every heart. We do desire that you would subdue our enemies, and that you would feed us with the finest of wheat and give us honey out of the rock. Oh, and that is Christ our Lord. We might know him in all of his glory and majesty to save and to deliver, and to know the fruit of the Spirit of perseverance to endure unto the end. So open our eyes and our ears that we may see and hear, and understand the things that are made for our peace, for it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen. say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. Oh, we praise God for all that He's done and all that He's wrought in the whole ministry that God has given us here at Mount Zion Bible Church. Our heart never ceases to praise Him and remind Him of His faithfulness and of His goodness toward us and supply in the means to send forth His precious Word in every form that He's given us to send it out. My friend, did you write for your free book that we're given this month entitled Studies in the Person and Work of Jesus Christ by W.E. Best? A little book that I certainly desire to put in your hands. It's free and postpaid. A book of 130 pages declaring Christ to be the eternal Son of God, talks about His incarnation, His virgin birth, His human nature, His human body, His human soul, His miracles, His death, His headship, His kingship, and other titles, and other chapters. Certainly He lifts up the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to have a copy of this book. Would you be inclined to write for it this next week? We trust that you will. Ask for it by name, Studies in the Person and Work of Jesus Christ. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. Dear friend, we have in the past weeks been bringing a series of messages. Messages of warning against this false gospel of carnal Christianity, which has swept like wildfire through Christendom in these last days, and is still damning more souls to hell than seemingly any other of Satan's damnable lies and deception. In these messages, we have been showing the fruits that grow on the tree of this false gospel as they are described in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. We have brought before you a description of these fruits and the lives of those who bear these fruits under three headings. First of all, their behavior is all wrong, described under the words and expressions, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, traitors, and heady. Our second subject was their opinion is all wrong, described under the words and expressions, boasters, proud, high-minded, and despisers of those that are good. And then the third thing that we offered to you and showed you that their affection is all wrong, described by the words and expressions, without natural affection, lovers of their own selves, covetous, and lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Have I expound to you under their affection is all wrong, that they are without natural affection, that they are lovers of their own selves, that they are covetous and lovers of money. Now today in our studies we come to the last fruit given here in 2 Timothy 3:4 of this false gospel of carnal Christianity under the heading their affection is all wrong, and it is the expression lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And I do want you to listen, praying that God will give us an understanding of His precious Word. I say, what a sad commentary upon the poor, deceived, so-called carnal Christian to believe that he can be saved, that he can be a child of God, an heir of heaven, and yet love pleasures more than he loves God. For you see, Matthew 6:21 tells us, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And my friend, if your treasure is in this world and its pleasures, then you can rest assured that your heart is not right with God, and you cannot bring forth fruit to perfection. You see, we are told in Luke 8:14 that when the seed, the word of God, is sown among thorns, that it is choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and therefore cannot bring forth fruit unto life and fruit unto perfection. Now let us look at this expression, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And I believe that the first thing that needs to be established today is this. What kind of pleasures are these that men are said to be lovers of more than lovers of God? And I answer, the expression lovers of pleasures mean sensual pleasures and vain amusements. And this interpretation is brought out clearly in Vine's Expository Dictionary of the New Testament. It is brought out clearly in Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible. And is brought out clearly in the Amplified Translation of the Bible. And this being so, then we need to define the word sensual and see how it is used in the Word of God. I said that the expression that is used here, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, that expression, lovers of pleasure, means sensual pleasures and vain amusements. Now this being so, then we need to define the word sensual and see how it is used in the Word of God. Follow me now. The word sensual means fleshly, carnal, self-indulgent, worldly, lewd, sexual, promiscuous in sin. It also means glutton, epicurean, lustful, immoral, unrestrained lust. In other words, everything that appeals to the fallen nature of man and that would satisfy his depraved heart. And my friend, this is said to be the fruit of the carnal Christian gospel. Lovers of pleasure, sensual pleasures, more than lovers of God. And it is to these people who have and practice this love of sensual pleasure and love the flesh and the things of flesh more than God, who are told that they are saved and going to heaven because they have made a profession of faith sometime in their life. My minister, when you stand in your pulpit and declare that there is a second type of Christian and he's called a carnal Christian, and you preach a gospel that allows a man to make a profession and to believe in Christ as his Savior and not to bow to his lordship, and do not preach to him self-denial and the narrow way and a life of holiness, but let him live in sin and love sensual pleasures and so to the flesh, and tell him that he's only a babe, that he's saved and going to heaven, that he has nothing to worry about because he's made a profession of faith sometime back in his life. My friend, you're deceiving them. Because this carnal Christian gospel, so-called, deceives men. You see, the first five of 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us a different story than all of this. There we read that these poor deceived souls have a form of godliness. That is, they think they are saved, but their lives deny the power of the gospel of the grace of God to save them from sin and its ruling power. And from such we are told to turn away, lest we be drawn into the same deception with him. Listen to me now. My heart goes out to these deceived souls. And beloved, this is the reason we have spent week after week after week in messages from the Word of God upon this subject. It peradventure that God will snatch some of them out of it. Peradventure God will grant some of you repentance to the acknowledging of the truth and open your heart to this deception and to where you stand before God. Listen now. To me, one of the strongest portions of Scripture against you who are lovers of sensual pleasure more than lovers of God is found in James chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. There you are called adulterers and adulteresses, and enemies of the living God, who is the holy God who hates sin. If you live in sin, and are lovers of sensual pleasures more than lovers of God, God's words calls you in James chapter 4, adulterers and adulteresses, and enemies of the living God. Now remember now, he is writing here, even in James 4, about the professed Christian, those who have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Now I want you to listen as we read the Word of God. From whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war into your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot attain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because you ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And oh, how descriptive are these verses in the Amplified translation. And I will read only the fourth one. The King James reads, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God? The Amplified reads, you are like unfaithful wives, having illicit love affairs with the world, and breaking your marriage vow to God. Do you not know that being the world's friend is being God's enemy? So whoever chooses to be a friend of the world takes his stand as an enemy of God. My friend, do you know that these verses describe, as does 1 Timothy 5:6, that if you live in and love sensual pleasures more than you love God, that you are spiritually dead while you live, and therefore an enemy of God, and a stranger to grace, and the holy ways of the Lord? Hebrews 12:14 tells us, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Now, will you listen? Let us see if we can put this down where we can apply it to our own hearts and see if we are lovers of sensual pleasures more than lovers of God. Whether we are adulterers and adulteresses, or whether we are children of God, by asking some questions. Will you listen? I ask, do we love to watch and feed upon the majority of the programs that are shown on television, which appeal only to the sensual, fleshly nature? And you know they do. Is this our pastime? It's not mine, I do know that. Do we feed upon the magazines and newspapers and books that appeal to our sensual, fleshly nature? Do we secretly desire to do these things, even though we would not openly do them? Has sin become a commonplace thing that we can indulge in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and go on saying, all is well with our soul, while we remain enemies of God and strangers to the way of grace? Listen again. Do we love God and His righteousness and holiness? Or do our hearts rebel against the narrow way of self-denial and a life of separation from the world? Do we secretly despise the way of grace, the way of repentance, the way of bowing to the authority of God's Word and to the Lordship of Christ? Do we follow after our own will and do our own thing without prayer and waiting upon God for His leadership? Do we love the sexual, lewd, lustful, self-indulgent way of the world? Or do we indeed love God in His holiness and seek to please Him in a life of separation from the world and the things of the world? My friend, I desire that we would face these questions fairly and squarely and ask our hearts where we stand before God. Are we lovers of pleasure, sensual pleasures and vain amusements more than lovers of God? Or do we love a life of holiness and separation from the world and the things of the world? Do we despise to be alone with God? Do we have to have the things of the world to satisfy, or are we satisfied to be alone with God? I would that you would listen to the Word of God. 1 John 2:15-17. We are told, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I ask again, do we love the world and the things in the world? You may ask, what is the world spoken of here? Well, it is the reign or kingdom of the carnal mind, the mind of the ungodly system, which is in me against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You see, wherever that mind prevails, there is the world. It is the ungodliness and worldly lust of Titus 2:12. It is the fallen human nature acting out itself under the influences of the devil. The god of this ungodly world and its spirit is hostile to godliness. And why? Because it is dominated by carnal ambition, by pride, by self-pleasing, by sensuous desires and interests. You see, the principles which govern this world, the power which operates it, the end which it seeks are earthly, sensual, devilish, and not of God and of holiness. Again, the opinions of this world that we are not to love are false. Its aims are selfish. Its pleasures are sinful. Its politics are corrupt. Its honors are nothing but bubbles and do not last. And since the world is the sphere of rebellion against God, God's people are commanded not to love it. They are not to esteem it as their portion or treasure. They are forbidden to set their affection upon it. Listen to me now. To love the world and its sensual pleasures is to give it the first place in our hearts, to idolize it, to make everything else subordinate to the acquisition and enjoyment of it, to despise whatever comes into competition with it. You see, when the world is loved, its pleasures govern the soul. Its possessions govern the soul, overcoming the conscience and principles of holiness in the Word of God. For the influences of the world are subtle, powerful, and perilous, and lead to damnation and hell. Again, to love the world is to make its vanities the chief objects of our pursuit, to share its friendships, to court its smiles, to conform to its ways, and to find our happiness in what it yields in its pleasures. Listen to me again. The command says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You see, one may renounce the world systems that Satan governs as a whole, and yet the heart secretly clings to the things that are in the world, some of its parts. My friend, it is not sufficient that I just renounce the world, but I should detach my affections from everything which seeks to claim them. I must not delight in anything which would cause me to lessen my esteem of Christ and to lessen my esteem of heavenly things. For I am to love God supremely and to set my affection on things above. I am not to value any object the world of the world, if it hinders the performance of my duties to God, if it dulls my relish for His Word, or chills the spirit of praise and prayer. You see, I am to prefer nothing to spiritual things. I may use many of the things that are in the world, but I must not abuse them. I must not put my trust on them or in them. I must not place my happiness in them. In other words, I am to not love nothing above God. I am to love nothing equal to God. I am to love nothing apart from God. This, my dear friend, is the teaching of God's Word. So I have tried by the grace of God today to lay before our hearts what it means to be lovers of sensual pleasures more than lovers of God, and what it means to love God supremely and not the world which He hates. And I would read to you in closing from Romans chapter 5, trusting that the Holy Spirit would apply these words to our hearts. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die the death of the unrighteous, the ungodly. But if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, we shall live, that is, live eternally with the Lord Jesus Christ in glory. My friend, I believe you've listened. And I know God's been in our midst, and I know you'll want a copy of this message. So we desire for you to write for it, and we'll be happy to send it to you free and postpaid. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.